And that's kind of the way the Lord had worked this out tonight. And amen, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad when we do things out of the normal. Amen. Maybe confuses the devil. Amen. He likes confusion. Let's keep him confused. And you say, well, God's not the author of confusion. Nobody talks about confounding the mighty. Amen. And but if you have your Bibles tonight, let's look over the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's go ahead and stand together to reverence the reading of God's word when you find your place, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Ask Brother Chris a question, and maybe only preachers could understand this, but even you as a Christian, or even you as a teacher, or a soul winner, whatever, if you could have every ear of every alive human being, every soul upon the earth, if you could have every ear of them for just a few moments, what would you share with them? I believe if we was limited in the verses that we could use, of course, we would go with John chapter 3, verse 16, the gospel in a nutshell. But what I want to share with you tonight for just a few minutes, if I somehow had the voice or had the ear and the heart of every soul across the United States, across the world, around the globe, if I had the ear of every living soul tonight, what I'm going to share with you would be what I would share with them tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse number 1, the Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James and of all the apostles. Last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." Father, we love you tonight. God, I thank you for Brother Chris. Lord, you know what it means to my heart, this young preacher. God, what a blessing he is. Thank you for the message tonight. God, I praise you. Give me just a few minutes, Lord, to tie in tonight, God, what you placed upon my heart, Lord. God, I believe it'll go right along with what he closed out with. Father, be somebody here tonight that's lost. God, I pray you'll touch their heart. Open their heart. Open their blinded eyes tonight, Lord. Let them be saved before it's too late, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You could be seated tonight. I made mention, if I could have the heart, if I could have the ear of every living soul upon the earth, this is what I would share with them tonight, and it is the gospel. And I think sometimes we look at the gospel, the message of the gospel, as being too simple. But Paul said there was power in the gospel. Amen. There's power to save souls. There's power to change lives. And we know that the gospel contains the power of God. It's able to change people. It's able to change the hearts and lives. And could it be, the question was asked, when are we going to worship? And I was sitting there thinking of what God placed upon our heart. And I was thinking the same thing as your last point, but it might be the reason that we can't reach that next level. It might be the reason that you can't go any farther in your worship is you don't know who you're worshiping. Maybe the fact is that you know about the Lord, but you don't know him personally. I was thinking, as the youth choir done such a good job of singing, "And I know him, and I know him, and best of all, he knows me." And it's not just enough to know about him, but to be able to go to heaven. If you're going to worship him, you got to realize how worthy he is. And as long as you feel like your sins is of more value than the Savior, then you're never going to put the full value of the worthyship upon him. He's worthy tonight. He's more worthy of our worship than the things of the world. And it might be the fact that some people, and I believe some of the places we go to, it might be the fact the reason people can't truly worship God, they don't truly know him for who he is. They know about him. Some of them even tell you, "Well, I realized he was the Son of God, and he is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, but he was also God the Son. He was also God in a robe of flesh." The Jehovah Witnesses and the cults and the false religions will tell you that he was a son of God, just like we are sons of God when we get saved. Some of them even tell you that the devil was his brother, but the devil was a created being, created by God, and he turned from cause of his sin because of the I Ams, I will ascend into heaven and all that. He was cast out of heaven, but it's more than just believing in the existence of God. It's more than just believing, even what we're going to look at in the Scriptures tonight. It's trusting in this for the forgiveness of your sins and trusting in the finished work at Calvary as being the only thing that's going to get you into heaven. It's the gospel plus nothing. You can't take anything away from the gospel and get into heaven. You can't add anything to the gospel and get into heaven. It's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work that he done on Calvary is the only way that we're going to get into heaven. It matters not how religious you are. It matters not what church name or role that you're on. It matters not how many times you've been baptized. It matters not how many times you've been to Sunday school. It matters not if you even stood in the pulpit and preached. Heard recently of two pastors. It didn't happen recently. I just heard about it recently of two pastors that got saved. Not around here. They went local. But at least one of them I knew. And I knew things was not right in his life. And I don't know still. He said he got saved. I still don't understand everything that's taking place in his life. But I'm glad I know the Lord tonight. I don't know just about the Lord. But Paul said here, he's sharing the gospel. And you say, well, I'm already saved, so I don't need to hear it. Well, I think that too. But he said, moreover, brethren. So he was talking to the saved people as well. I wonder tonight, do you know, could you sit down with somebody? Could you sit down with a lost person and share the gospel? Could you sit down and explain to them how Jesus left heaven, come and died on the, as a child of God? We ought to be able to do that. It's not that we can explain everything about the Bible. The best thing we can do is just tell somebody how that God saved us. I can tell them that I got saved as a little boy in a country church in the middle of a hayfield. I stepped out that morning and called upon the Lord. But sometimes we need to be able to go that next step with our witness and to share with them how it is that because I called on Jesus, how was it that he was able to save me? If you want to get stirred up and something stirring your worship, get a hold of scriptures and be praying that God would put some sinner on the job beside of you. Be praying that God would put somebody in your pathway that you can share the God. Ain't nothing that'll stir your heart anymore after your own salvation than to wrap your arm around some sinner and tell them about a God that loves them and able to save them and change their life and watch God change their life. You'll start worshiping after that. Amen, Brother Scott, make you shout hearties on it. Is that all right, Brother? Remember that? Led a homeless guy to the Lord with some bags that the youth group had packed, and Scott got cut loose at Hardee's. He shouted at Hardee's. That's all right. Amen. You say, I would never do that. I pray God make you do it tomorrow. Amen. That's worship. That's worship. Brother David Gibbs stood and preached one time. Brother Chris, I'll never forget this. He asked a question. He said, I want you to be honest. How many can raise their hand and say that you worship God this week outside the church? He said, I'm not asking how many have prayed. I'm not asking you how many have read your Bible. He said, I'm asking how many has worshiped God in your pride. We sometimes pray and we ought to. We read our Bible, we ought to. But he's worthy of our worship at the house. He's worthy of us worship him riding down the road. He's worthy of our worship. If we get a hold of what he's done, we'll see how valuable he is. But he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. He said, verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain. Verse number 3, we need to see this. He said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. If you're going to share the gospel with somebody else, we first got to get a hold of that this changed our life. As long as we forget what we used to be, as long as we forget about where we were headed when God found us, we ain't going to witness to nobody else because we think, bless God, we're doing a whole lot better than what they are. We get a good glimpse back of where God's brought us from. It took the same gospel to save me as it does the hardened criminals behind the fence, behind the prison bars. A guy on death row told me one time, he said, I understand why God loves you, but he said, I don't understand why God would love me. I told him, I said, it took just as much grace, it took just as much mercy, sir, to save me as it did to save you. And he said, can you explain to me how that God loves me? Can you explain to me why God loves you? I said, sir, I can't explain to you why God loves me, but I can open the Bible and show you that he does. Amen. We need not forget where we was when God found us. The same gospel we shared with them, we need to receive it. And I ask you on that question tonight, have you received the gospel? I'm not talking about just hearing it with your ears. That's one way of receiving it. But I'm talking about opening your heart and let God come inside your heart. Receive that for the forgiveness of your sin. Maybe the reason you're having trouble worshiping God, you don't know the God you're trying to worship. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Amen. I've met people, Preacher Mark said they've never sinned. I met men locked up in prison that even said since they got saved that they'd never commit another sin since they got saved. Well, the trouble I was having with that, they was in the prison inside the prison. Not only did they get in trouble to bring them to prison, but they got more trouble inside the prison, and they were locked up even deeper inside the prison. But even deeper than that, they was locked up in some kind of religious mess, some kind of religious thoughts in their mind. They knew the lingo, but they knew not the Lord. I would hate for somebody to walk out of this church tonight and step out there in a car, run off the side of the road and run over them and kill you, and you know the lingo but not know the Lord. Do you know Him tonight? What a coincidence that God led them kids to sing, "I know Him," not just "I know about Him," not just "I've heard His name before," not just "He was a good person," but "I know Him." The birds in the air know the Creator. Do you know Him tonight? The Bible said here how that Christ died for our sins, not our opinion. He said, according to the Scriptures. I believe if we're going to share the gospel with somebody, we ought to have enough of the gospel in our heart. We ought to have enough of the Scriptures to at least share John 3:16. Don't, if you've been saved 30 minutes, you may not let anybody to the Lord, but if you've been saved 30 years, you ought to be trying to. Y'all know enough of the Scriptures. Come off the meat, or come off the milk and get a little bit of that meat and start chewing the meat of the Word of God, that we can go and share with somebody else how that Christ died according to the Scriptures. Why He died according to the Scriptures. He didn't die for any sin that He'd done. You say, "Preacher, this is elementary." I tell you what, if we get back some elementary stuff, maybe we'll start growing. I learned more probably in elementary school than I did in high school. All I done in high school is figure out how I can get my 4 years and get out of here. I'm being honest. I probably learned more in elementary school than I did in high school. We got to realize that He died not for His sins, but for our sins. I believe if we really get a hold of that tonight, that He died for my sins, not just saying it, but get a hold of it, it'll get us up off of the pew. I believe it'll get us so full of the Holy Spirit of God, we'll come in here, we'll just shout it out tonight. If we get a hold of what God done for us. If we get a hold of the first step of the gospel, that He died for your sins, He died for mine. I ought to be in hell tonight, but I ain't going to hell. I can't go to hell tonight. Swing over hell on a rotten rope, sing "Amazing Grace." I'm not going to hell tonight. I deserve to be in hell tonight, but I'm not going to hell because I know Him. Best of all, He knows me. Could it be the reason you're having trouble truly worshiping Him? You ain't seen Him worthy enough to give Him your soul. You sure ain't going to see Him worthy enough to give you time. If you get hold of why He died, for what you've done. I think about, I'll be honest tonight, my eyes have seen things I should have never looked upon. My hands have done works that I should have never done. My feet have walked places that I should have never walked. I've been involved in things I should have never been in. But He loved me anyway enough to give His life and die. It wasn't that He didn't know what I'd done. He knew every stinking sorry thing that I'd done. He knew everything that I was going to do. But He loved me anyway. You ought to worship Him. You got more reason to jump over the pew than you do sit in it. He's worthy tonight. You get a hold of the gospel, it'll change your life. It'll make you want to reach somebody else. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I don't know if I've done anything right or not, wrong or not. We'll get a hold of the Word of God. It says you have. It says we all sin and come short of the glory of God. You know what it means when He said we all sin and come short of the glory of God? He said, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We ought to give Him praise and worship tonight for what He done in our life. Do you good one time, just cut loose and shout. So that scare you, preacher, wouldn't scare me one bit. Might scare the devil, amen. If you get a picture of hell tonight, what He saved you from, we'd be doing some shouting tonight. We forgot where God brought us from, if He's ever brought us from anywhere. We do that sometimes. I've been in prisons, Preacher Mark, and some of them are shouting. I know some of it's fake, some of it's wildfire and stuff, but I've seen guys that are so on fire for God that you try to preach, and you got to quit preaching for a few minutes because you can't even hear yourself. That don't happen in the juveniles most of the time, but some of them adults shout you out. You know why? They ain't forgot where God brought them from. They realize what they are. We get a hold of who we are, hold of who He is. We'll be ready to worship. Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. The Bible said that He was buried. Why was He buried? Because He really died. It wasn't that He fell asleep. I've heard that. The preacher even mentioned, I think, in the prayer room tonight. It wasn't that he went to sleep, he fainted or whatever. Hey, he had a spear jabbed plumb through his heart and the water and the blood flew out. That don't mean he went into a coma. That don't mean that you went to sleep. That don't mean that you fainted or passed out. He was graveyard dead. Right. He truly died. We met a guy one time in a prison. He wanted to tell us how very intelligent he was. He was an attorney and told us some of the famous cases that he had tried and stuff. And I was sharing the gospel with you. Some of you guys may have even been with me. It was down at Kirkland. And we were sharing the gospel with him. He said, well, I'm a Christian now. He said, I didn't used to be a Christian. He said, I believe what the Bible says. He said, except for one part. He said, I have trouble believing that Jesus really died. He said, sir, I'm very intelligent. And he said, it's beyond my intelligence to think that somebody died and they was able to rise again the third day. He said, so I really don't believe that he died. He said, but they tell me that I have to believe that to be a Christian. So I tell them that I believe it. He said, but I really don't believe it. Then he crossed the line. He said, what difference does it make? I was about to tell him what difference it make before he asked. I said, the difference between heaven and hell. He got fighting mad. He didn't like it. The Bible said, look, if you just hold your place, if you want to flip over, but if not, I'm just going to read you one portion of scripture, Romans chapter number 10. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. It didn't say woke him up from a coma. It didn't say brought him out of a sleep some way. It didn't say that God knocked him out and brought him back. God rose him from the dead. He arose from the dead. He arose from the dead. You can say, well, I don't really believe that. And I say I do. You'll die and go to hell if you don't believe the gospel. It may not be that part that you don't believe. It may be something else about that you don't believe. We have to trust in the finished work of Christ on Calvary. I spoke to another man on death row, and he told me he was an atheist. He was more agnostic than atheist. He believed there was something out there, but it didn't care about us. We couldn't have no contact with him, and that's how he felt about God. But Preacher Mark, as I talked to him, he quoted the scriptures. I started to share the scriptures, and he started quoting the scriptures and giving me verse after verse. And I said, sir, for a man that claims he does not believe in God, you sure know a whole lot of God's word. And he said, preacher, I was raised up in church. He said, I lived a lie. He said, they would ask me, do you believe this? And I would tell them yes, because I knew that was the answer that the preacher wanted. I knew that's what the Sunday school teacher told me to say. So they would ask me, do I believe this? And I would say yes, just to make them happy. He said, but living a lie, he said, it brought me to where I'm at today. And I told him, I said, you know, if you still tell me you don't believe there's a God, I believe you're still living a lie, because I believe you know that there is a God. When we acknowledge the fact that there is a God, we acknowledge the fact that we are guilty before him and we're accountable to him. It may be someone under the sound of my voice today is in the same situation. You've always told mom and daddy what you thought they wanted to hear. You always told the preacher what you thought they wanted to hear. You always said that you believed it, but you've never truly trusted him in your heart. Can I tell you, don't die and go to hell knowing about the Lord. Die and go to heaven knowing him. Matters not where you've been, what you've done, who you are. It matters who he is. Where he's been, where he's done, and we have it in the gospel here tonight. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. Once again, this is not our opinion. This is not just what we believe because we're a Baptist. I believe it's because that's what God's word said, that he was God in the flesh. He did come to die, not for any of his sins, but he came to die for all my sins and the sins of the entire world. I do believe that he literally died on that cross. They come by to break his legs and he was already dead. I'm talking about professional executioners, and they looked at him instead of breaking his leg. They run the spear up through his side into his heart, and out flew blood and water. He was really dead. And they put him in a borrowed tomb, and he arose the third day. Now, can I sit down as one with a medical degree and explain to you all the process of all that? I have no idea. But I stand here as one Tanyanite. Amen. I've never seen my physical eye, but I know him because I believe. As a child, simple childlike faith, Preacher Mark, I couldn't have won a game of Bible trivia for my salvation. I didn't hardly know an apostle from an epistle, but I knew I was lost. I knew that Jesus died for lost people. And I knew that because I was young, I had nobody push me, Brother Steve. Nobody saying, go. I didn't go forward in Bible school because 100 other people went forward. I didn't go because the preacher said, repeat this prayer and wave your hand in the air, or light your flashlight on your phone, or light your cigarette lighter, or do it. I come before to cause Preacher Mark because there was something on the inside that was pulling and was drawing me. I didn't know a whole lot about him, but he knew a whole lot about me. And for some reason, he wanted me to come and call on his name. And I come and I called on his name, and God saved me. God changed me. I believe the gospel. I believe parts of it that I still don't understand everything about the word of God. And I'm glad I don't have to. This contains the mind of God. If I understood everything about it, it looks to me like I'd be God, and I ain't never going to be God. But I tell you what God does give. He gives me the parts that I need when I need it. He gives you the verse, the exact verse you need when you need it. If you know Him, or if you're at that place in your heart where you're ready to know Him. As Brother Scott comes and gets us a song tonight, I ask you tonight, do you know Him?